Well, as we fast approach Christmas, we're going to be looking and taking a few minutes to look at Isaiah chapter 9. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. I think there's some in the pews in front of you. And we've been in a series that have looked at this prophecy in Isaiah 9. And Isaiah was a prophet to the nation of Israel for 38 years. These prophets were all God's messengers. And really, this passage that we've been looking at the last few weeks is really the centerpiece of all the prophecies, all the Christmas prophecies. So let's pray and look to the Lord before we get started. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to look at your word. Lord, that we can behold you, that we can come and adore you. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that you would guide each one of us. Lord, that we would look to you to find true peace and comfort. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this prophecy, if you're in Isaiah 9, verse 6, is one that's very familiar. You've probably heard it before. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And as we've looked at this prophecy the last few weeks, we've taken a week and looked at each one. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and tonight, Prince of Peace. But I'll quickly remind us that we have a God that has given us the Wonderful Counselor. That Jesus is that perfect counselor that we can always trust in. That he knew exactly what to say when people went up to him and were looking for truth and looking for answers. He's the source of all truth. But he's also a mighty God, a powerful one who can forgive sin. He's also the everlasting Father. That through what Christ did on the cross for us, we can have peace with God and be his children. He will never let us go, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, his presence. But finally, he's the Prince of Peace. And I think it's important to define terms. What is peace? Peace is defined as harmony or security or tranquility. And peace is thrown around in all different kinds of ways. People seek inner peace. People experience fake peace. People desire peace with God and one another. And I found in a Bible dictionary a definition that I thought was that really summed up what peace with God is all about. The definition says that peace is the spiritual harmony brought about by an individual's restoration with God. Restoration with God. In the Old Testament, peace was not the absence of external strife or hardships, but it was an inner calm. It was a sense of security that didn't depend on external circumstances. And God's Word teaches us that the only way for us to have true and lasting peace is by trusting in God's plan of salvation through Jesus. That's the starting point to all internal peace. See, he was the prophet that the person that all the prophets were pointing to. If I give you a little back history on Isaiah, the people in Israel needed peace. See, the nation had been divided in 930 AD. BC. This was written about 700 BC. And Israel was separated into the northern and southern kingdoms at that time. The northern kingdom had turned against the southern kingdom and had formed an alliance with Syria. And the southern kingdom of Judah was left all alone. They had a wicked king on the throne, King Ahaz. And he didn't listen to the prophet Isaiah. And he ended up asking for help from a wicked nation called Assyria. And during the years in Israel's history, there was a great struggle both politically and spiritually. And Isaiah warned Israel and Judah that God would judge his people's sins. And there was a spiritual struggle that involved rejecting God's word. In fact, Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." You see, that is what had happened to the nation of Israel. They had wandered from the Lord, the God of Israel. And they had experienced the consequences to a lack of peace with God. There are consequences. The country was divided. The leadership was corrupt, full of people, leaders with poor character, unwise, making unwise alliances. They had fallen into idolatry. And you know, as I think about Israel, I think a lot about us, the United States, in 2023, going into 2024, where we see the same thing at times. We see a nation that's divided. And we see leadership that's corrupt. And we see a nation that's fallen into idolatry. And it causes uncertainty. It causes fear, anxiety, doubt. So what do a lot of people think will bring them peace? Well, they think peace is based on how they feel and their own circumstances. And to get true peace and temporarily external happiness confused. We think if we just get something, we're going to be truly happy and have true peace. So more peace doesn't come from trying to control situations and think about things that will make us more happy, material things. See, instead, what Israel did is they put their trust in themselves instead of in trusting the plan of God. And the plan of God was to send a rescuer. In fact, that's what the name Isaiah means. It means God to the rescue. See, Isaiah would continue to preach this message on deaf ears for 38 years. See, God will never be your wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, or Prince of Peace, unless Jesus is your personal Savior. That is the starting point for him being your wonderful counselor, for him being your mighty God, your everlasting Father, and your Prince of Peace. See, today, believers can become so anxious. Some of you have struggled. I've struggled with anxiety, fear, doubt. But Philippians 4:7 tells us this: not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, this is so incredible and so important for us, because what we see around us is we see believers may be struggling with anxiety, but we see unbelievers around us becoming more and more desperate, searching for things in their life that will try to give them meaning and purpose, and coming up empty. You see, Isaiah spoke about peace often. In fact, at least over 20 times in the book of Isaiah, he spoke about peace. And he talked about a peace that was a now peace and a peace that is not yet. The now peace was something that was done because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I'm going to read Isaiah 53, verse 5. This is the prophecy of the suffering servant. This is a great passage. And if you know someone that's Jewish, have them read Isaiah 53, because they believe in the Old Testament. And this points directly to Jesus. Look at Isaiah 53, 5. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." See, that's the now. that we can have and you can have peace with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But there's also a not yet that the prophets would foresee. A time of peace, ushered in by the true Prince of Peace, Jesus, when he will come again, his second coming. And one day his forever rule will be established and it will never end. But you might wonder, in the meantime, until Jesus comes, what does a heart of peace actually look like? One of my favorite verses that I hit when I was in high school, was one I thought of every once in a while, was a heart, it's Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. And I think that's so important that we think about what it means to have a heart of peace. And if you can turn in your bulletins right there to that call to worship, I want to point out something that I hope will be an encouragement to you as we approach Christmas. Look at verse 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. That word steadfast means those that rest on or lean on or really focus on and depend on as support. If you are looking for peace and you are a believer in Christ, rest in who Jesus is and what he did for you to give you peace and to bring you peace. Notice right after that, it says, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. See, we're called to trust in the Lord. Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your law, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our heart. See, if you're looking for peace in God, are you spending time with the Lord? Are you looking at his word and looking at his promises? Look what it says. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. See, many times the reason why we don't have peace is because we've forgotten what our foundation needs to be based on. Not on the things that are happening externally, but what has happened on the inside through what Christ has done in our lives. And we forget that God has a plan. And we get so wrapped up in all the things that we see when we turn on the news. We look on our phones. We get consumed by those things and not in the perfect plan of God. That he's in control. This message that went through the prophet Isaiah happened at a time where there was wickedness all around. And so the New Testament, when it talks about peace, it really talks about this idea of rest. Finding rest in the Lord. So why did Jesus need to be our Prince of Peace? Because in our sinful state, we are all enemies of God. And conflict will always exist in this fallen world because this world is filled with fallen, sinful people, just like me and just like you. But because of Christ's sacrifice, we can be restored to a full relationship, a right relationship with God. And that's the encouragement. He makes peace with God. Romans 5:1. See, this is good news for all people. But I will say that just because Christmas is coming tomorrow, and you might think, oh, people will be happy. Christmas does not bring peace to all. The deep, lasting peace that cannot be taken away does not depend on our circumstances. And true peace is only found in a relationship with Jesus, knowing that God's in control. So whatever year you've had in 2023, and it might have been full of ups and downs, you have a God that is in control. And when you look around, it's like when Peter was walking on water. What happened when he looked around? He started to sink. But when he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus, he was going right to and he was walking around the water. You see, the angels came and they proclaimed peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. See, if Jesus is not your Savior, there's no hope, no power, no counsel. And if Jesus is your Savior, you reorient your life, each area of your life, around him and his purposes, what he wants us to do. Because we can look around and we can get consumed with what we see around us. And that is what was happening in Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's life. See, the year was 1861. And it was during the American Civil War, where the country was divided, that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow experienced great turmoil himself. Not only was the country in turmoil, but he himself was. He had previously lost his first wife after a miscarriage. And in 1861, on July 9th, he lost his second wife of 18 years. She was fatally burned in a fire. And he put down his pen. He stopped writing, except for his journal, where on December 25th, 1862, he said this: "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." His son would enlist without his permission, and he was critically injured. And when his son came home, he picked up his pen again on Christmas Day in 1863. He wrote a poem called Christmas Bells. You may be familiar with that from a hymnal. The words are actually in your bulletin. You can take a quick look at them. We're going to be singing the song shortly. But it's important to understand that these words have meaning. See, the first verse is all about the joy and hope that he feels at Christmas. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men." That goodwill to men is actually the King James version of the passage that we read earlier. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And what sometimes people confuse is with that statement is when it says goodwill to men, it doesn't mean the good works that we do to men. It means God's goodwill, the goodwill of God in sending his only son to rescue us. That's the goodwill. It's God's rescue. But look at verse 2 in Henry's poem. "In I despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Verse 3, or verse 2, focuses on the pain and suffering that he experienced. Verse 3 says, "Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." And what a beautiful poem. It hints at the psalm or the verse in Luke 2. It's missing the clear connection that Jesus is that peace. That peace that's come. So if you're here and you don't know that peace, maybe you're struggling even as a believer because life is full of anxiety. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Your deacons that would be available to do that after the service. But if you've never experienced the peace of Jesus, the true peace that comes from a relationship with him, we'd love to talk with you about it. He is the greatest gift. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to look at your word, that we can have true peace in a relationship with you. not based on our external circumstances, but based on the fact that you are in control and that you sent Jesus to be our rescuer, to bring peace, and to one day come back and return again to an eternal kingdom that will never end, full of your peace. We love you, we thank you, we look to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.